Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We're looking ahead here just hours away, really, from 2025. And there are some important governor races in 2025. Also, we're heading into the next election cycle, believe it or not, for the U.S. Senate. We'll discuss all this now with Scott Parkinson. Scott, good to have you here.
It's great to be back, Loman.
2025, there aren't a lot of governor races, but they're often viewed as sort of a bellwether as to where the American public is headed, including a very important one in your neck of the woods, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Want to talk a bit about that?
The listeners might remember in 2021, following Biden's victory, we had a huge victory for Republicans in Virginia when Governor Glenn Youngkin won the governor's mansion in Richmond. And Winsome Sears won lieutenant governor, and Jason Miaris won attorney general. It surprised a lot of people. And typically in these off-year elections, New Jersey and Virginia are the two main ones, you might see sort of a political backlash to the ruling party in the White House or Congress. And so there's a lot of people that are concerned here in Virginia that Republicans are going to lose, and Abigail Spanberger, who has represented the 7th Congressional District of Virginia, is going to be our new governor there and have the control of the state Senate and the General Assembly with the House of Delegates. Republicans are looking like they're going to nominate Winsome Sears to be the governor, and she has been endorsed by Glenn Youngkin. In Virginia, you can't run consecutive terms for governor, so it's only a 4-year term, and then you've got to step away. However, for attorney general, you can run for re-election, and Jason Miaris has done really a phenomenal job working with Governor Youngkin as sort of the top law enforcement official of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So those are some big, exciting races. We think that Sears is going to be a really strong candidate, a competitive candidate, and obviously I think everybody is hoping that she and Jason Miaris can defeat the Democrats. In New Jersey, we'll see what happens over there. You've got drones flying around. You've got all this crazy stuff going. We've seen, truck drivers be competitive candidates in the past. And you never know what can happen. Obviously, going way back, I think to 2009, Chris Christie won as a Republican after the Barack Obama race. So we don't know what's going to happen in these off-year elections, but 2025 will be a lot of fun. Then when we get into 2026, there's a lot of other very, very competitive gubernatorial races all throughout the country. You've got a lot of incumbents that are termed out. You've got others that'll be running for re-election. But then you're going to see, I think, some new voices that try to step forward and pick up the mantle of leadership. And obviously that's a good tradition of our constitutional republic, where we have different leaders come up in the states and people aren't just ruling for 40 or 50 years. I've obviously had a lot of experience with the state of Florida, the Sunshine State. Ron DeSantis will be termed out there. A lot of people are presuming that Representative Byron Donalds, who is from, I think, the 13th District of Florida, he represents the Naples area, has been a tremendous member of Congress and a top surrogate for President Trump. He's looking like he's gearing up to run for governor. It'll be interesting to see if he makes an announcement in the early months of 2025, but I think he's been pretty open that he's exploring that run. Then you've got states like Wyoming, where Governor Gordon is termed out, and we've got some good conservative young blood there that might take a look at it. You've got states like Alaska, where Mike Dunleavy is term limited. Even in your state, where you've got a Democrat with Josh Shapiro that's up for re-election, Pennsylvania is somewhere that Donald Trump won. And what is the staying power of Trumpism with the working class? Is there a conservative, a Republican in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that can step up and be very, very competitive against Shapiro, who I think will run for re-election? I'm excited. I'm interested to know. Loman, do you have anybody in mind that might run for Pennsylvania? Who do you think?
We actually have a couple of folks whose names are being cast about here in Pennsylvania, Scott. Stacey Garrity, who is the state treasurer, just re-elected this year. She actually, aside from Donald Trump, received the highest number of votes ever for a statewide candidate in Pennsylvania. So she is a possibility, as well as Congressman Dan Muser and several others. So it's going to be highly competitive, and there are a lot of storm clouds on the horizon for Josh Shapiro, who, as you know, harbors ambitions to be president. Let's end up here very quickly, Scott, and take a quick look, a snapshot at where we stand in the U.S. Senate. A third of the Senate is up every 2 years. This past year, advantage Republicans. 2026, advantage who?
You got to think that Republicans are still in the driver's seat because we do have a majority in the United States Senate, thanks to these successful elections in 2024 with Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania. And we've got Bernie Moreno, who defeated Sherrod Brown in Ohio. We won West Virginia with Jim Justice. So we've got this majority, but we have a huge number of seats to defend this time. You might remember this is sort of like the 2014 class where we had a successful election before President Trump got elected. And a lot of those people are up for election. We've also got some specials that are going to occur because Marco Rubio, who was a part of that 2010 class, 2016 and 2022, since he left to become Secretary of State, you're going to see a special election to fill the remainder of that term, and then that'll be up again in 2028. It seems kind of confusing, but when a governor appoints a new senator, they don't just get 6 years right away. They basically fill the rest of that congressional cycle, and then they have to run to fill the rest of that term if it hasn't expired at that point. So let's just say, for example, that Ashley Moody ends up being the nominee that Ron DeSantis appoints to fill the rest of 2025 and 2026. She'll be on the ballot in 2026 and then be on the ballot again in 2028 to fill the remainder, the new 6 years of that term. And we'll have a couple of instances like that. I think that Republicans are in a good position. We're going to take on an investigatory posture when it comes to Act Blue and the way that foreign money has been used on debit cards to sort of front load the bank accounts to a lot of these Democrats that have raised just hundreds of millions of dollars. I think that'll level the playing field to an extent. Obviously, we're cleaning up election rolls. We're having good election integrity reforms. That helped propel us to close victory for 2024. And I'm excited about the opportunity we have in 2026. I think there's a couple of races where Republicans can go on offense, and the big one will be down in Georgia with Joe Ossoff running up for re-election.
Well, Scott, we will keep an eye on all of these developments as the year 2025 unfolds. Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. One more time, Scott, a little bit about the club.
Club is based out of Washington, D.C. We have over 525,000 members. You can join us by signing up for free at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, Happy New Year to you. We've got a lot to look forward to in 2025.
All right, Loman, Happy New Year.